Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that Martha expressed that now that you're here. Even so, my brother could rise from the dead. We know that that's exactly the truth, that she might have thought that she was inspired by her own spirit. But we believe more like Peter, that she was inspired by the Holy Ghost himself to bring forth the declaration the presence of God brings about a resurrection. And Lord, we believe that you are present, though many do not. We believe you're present here personally. I know that we don't look like it many times by our behavior. We don't seem to grasp it. We don't really recognize as we ought to, but we do know that that is true as far as we can know at this time. And we pray, Lord, that shall increase in our understanding as never before and bring forth fruit commensurate with us. Guide us in our studies today, Lord, that we do not be remiss in anything that's said, but right in line with the prophet said, and may it be confirmed to our hearts and minds in such a manner we will not forget it. And then not only not forgetting it, but those portions that we should believe very, very strongly, we will believe and add daily to it. And any portion that we should walk therein, we might also walk therein in our worship toward you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is the future home number 2. And just to recap, Brother Branham read both 2 Peter 3, 1-18 and Revelation chapter 21, 1-7 as the scripture for this study. And he showed that both Peter and John, though seeming to differ, were proclaiming the same promise. But wherein John merely mentioned the promise's fulfillment, Peter literally explained the instrumentation of it, or how it would actually be done. That is, the new heavens and the new earth, which we're looking forward to because that is the setting of the new Jerusalem, the future home of the earthly bride and heavenly bridegroom. I should have reversed that. It's the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Brother Branham categorically set forth by vindicated revelation. Now, this is what we learned last night. That the new earth and heavens were not a new creation based upon an annihilation of the old, but rather a necessary purification of the earth's crust and its atmosphere, and then a recreation, to rid it of all sin and the consequences of sin, whatever those consequences manifested. Thus, we will live right here on earth, that is, on this same earth in the millennium, and after that, we will still live right here on this same earth in the New Jerusalem. Now, that's what the truth is. The prophecy of Isaiah 65, 17 to 25, which literally is the same as that in Revelation, actually appears to run the millennium and the New Jerusalem right together. Now, remember, that's how the prophets did it, and that's how Brother Branham did it. And it was, I told you, a great stumbling block to my mental processes, because if there's anything that I'm adept at is logical deduction and literature. And so I was looking for the logical, which shows you can't use anything of the human instrument to work a revelation. It'll kill you right off the bat. So I had a battle, but the battle was overcome. Only took about 22 years. It's not bad. Out of 73. So I'm helping you so that you don't have that battle. I trust your understanding, therefore, what I'm saying, because it's terribly important to the peace of your mind and to the revelation. So the prophecy which deals with this in the Old Testament, 65, 17, 25, actually appears to run the millennium and the New Jerusalem right together. And why shouldn't it do so? Because it's talking of the same thing that's going on now, which so many people don't understand where we stand here in this ministry of Brother Branham's on the presence, which is the appearing. Every single one of those words has started and is moving and moving and moving. As Christ started to appear and move into his church in 1933, but it was in 1963 that we saw Revelation 10 and 1, joined with Revelation 10 and 7. You see, bringing forth the seals and all. And at that time, Brother Branham said he had to decrease so that Christ would come more and more and God would take headship. God in the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire. Now, you say, I don't see him. Well, wonderful. What do you expect? You're your prophet, is your seal? You got to go by faith. And your faith is vindicated. See? That's just like somebody giving you the power of attorney over old, well, not old John B. Rockefeller anymore. He's been dead for so many years, he's nothing but ashes. And his kids don't have that money. But if he were living and he gave you a check with the power of attorney and said, go ahead, well, you experiment. You say, well, let me write a check and see how big it is. And you could write up to $1 billion at least. Well, you know, this morning you're writing checks for eternity, for immortality, proven. Trouble is, we're just not drawn on the bank. That's not God's fault, that's our fault. I always said stupid is stupid. I'm not looking at you and saying that, I'm talking about myself. And you too. A nice trickle down way. Now this running of the, looking as though the millennium and the New Jerusalem are run together, so you can't differentiate, you can. This only appears so because time and eternity have blended. And New Jerusalem is actually only a continuation of what we are about to enter into by way of the resurrection and rapture. As Christ started coming into the church through his appearing in June 11th, 1933, and finally took headship. You see, in about 1963, right when he came down. See, that's the idea. He's got to come down to take headship in order to raise the dead. Finish off that show. Well, we're already into that, moving us into the millennium. And once you hit a certain place in the economy of God, you can dig your heels in all you want, and you're not going to stop it. There's no way. Because, you see, you're in a particular period of predestinated time, and God says, time is finished. Well, you say, well, just a minute, time goes on. Sure, it does. It goes right past the millennium. But you ever stop to think of this? That he said, time is finished when God came down? And he said, okay, time as you know it is already finished for all of you, and some of you will know it, and you're entering in to the eternities. Sure, he said, time's up for you fellas. Time's up for the bride. Now, you can't change that. you gotta sit here this morning and take that in and relax with it. Now, you might not feel like relaxing with it, but that's... I'm sorry. I'm not going to try to change it. Because God wouldn't listen to me anyway. I never heard of a messenger that was sent out that told the one that gave the message, said, hey, now, I think this is wrong, and we better do it my way. Now, Larry speaks, shows what a bunch of idiots are in government. Well, we're not Larry speaks to put quotes in the mouth of God. Well, he's not going to pay any attention. So here we are in this marvelous period, and it's a time of relaxing. Let your muscles sag. See, in other words, this is the great day of the great spiritual, what am I going to call him? Bum? The idle fella? You're through exerting yourself in certain areas. It's out of your hands. That's why Brother Branham had a great gift of getting out of the way. And if he could get out of the way, it's where God wants it. Now we learn to get out of the way and just let God take his course by his Spirit. He's going to do it anyway. See? So this is going on now, this great sovereign thing that God is doing, time and eternity blending, and whether anybody wants to know it or not, we are literally moving right into Mount Zion, and nothing is going to deter us anymore, because he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is that day. And that's a period of time. Just like old the man that worked out on the expanded Bible. Anyway, name starts with R. And he understood that the actual presence was a series of events to take over a period of time, which is very strange that many people in this message don't even know as much as that man knew back there. And you know, when you got to look back on those men, and you don't know what they knew, I could tell you one thing, you are not full of the Holy Ghost, kid. I just tell you flat, you have missed him. And you better repent. We got a good baptismal tank down there. We'll fill it with water, we'll baptize you. And you see if you get the Holy Ghost. Now, that's just plain and simple. If you can't differentiate that, you're not with it. Just not with it. Brother Banner said the token is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You tell me this morning, anybody here has got the Lord Jesus Christ himself, I will call you a liar. And I'll prove it, because you cannot do what the Lord Jesus Christ did. There it was. Now, you and I can get his spirit, part of his life. But, you know, you better watch language here. We're watching language in this book here, and it's becoming consistently more clear, and I know it is because things move together. I get telephone calls all the time. They say, Brother Vail, we hear your tapes, and we see the Bible move right together now, the prophet's message. Now, I read you last night. That's how Brother Branham did it. So I'm supposed to do the same thing he did. You're supposed to sit here and get the same thing when it's given to you. See, we're looking at that. Now, last night we left off at the bottom, page 13, where Brother Branham was showing us how Satan was sinfully ruling and ruling through sin. He was sinfully ruling and ruling through sin. You get what I said? He was himself sinfully ruling and ruling through the sin of the people. What he did, he usurped the authority that God gave man by double dealing from the bottom of the deck. He handed Eve and Adam a bump, a stacked deck of cards. And the minute he did, he began moving right through them. So that's it. Satan was sinfully ruling and ruling through sin, the earth and its atmospheres. So God must rid the earth of him and his evil spirits and his politics and sin and disease and any plant which God had not planted. It was not in the true plan of God. We know that. God will take back to himself his earth in heavens, and since our bodies are a part of that earth, we will be a part of the restoration and redemption back to God. It's all one part and parcel. So, paragraph 51 on page 13. We're going to start reading, and we go right to 14 where we left off. Now, sin caused all this to happen, and God, through this age, is gathering up his material. God, through this age. And now the age we're in, God is beginning to gather all his material up, and he's going to get it all ready for the great and wonderful day, which starts a little purification of the earth at the start of the millennium, then a great, big, marvelous dissolution and a reconstitution to bring us back for the eternities. I got a little verse here somewhere, I think, in Luke 21 and 18. There shall not an hair of your head perish. Where did it come from? From the Spirit, from your life, which is the soul that God gave, naturally transmitting to your humanistic mentality, taking from the earth. He's going to restore the earth, and our hair is going to be restored. We're not going to lose one hair. Sister Branham told Bill, she said, that you're losing your hair. He said, I haven't lost one. She said, and pray tell me where they are. He said, where they were in the first place. We're going to get them again. All right. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. If I have this one down right. Got another verse here. 3. 13. Not 3. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Absolutely. That's part of the earth. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. That's part of it, too. And they were judged every man according to their works. So you see, that's coming on. Let's go back and see Job 19. Brother Branham loved Job 19. He loved all the book of Job. All right. 25 to 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself in this flesh which is mine, and I'm going to get it back. And my eyes, which I'm using right now, are going to come back, and I'm going to use them too, and I'm going to behold him. And it won't be somebody else's eyes, it won't be another set of eyes. It's going to be mine, though my reins are consumed and everything goes to pot and goes down to gases and ashes, or just gases. I am coming back, me, Job. That's nice. That's nice. I like that. I like it because a lot of people wouldn't. They want to be somebody else. You get to the place finally where you realize in God's economy you're glad you weren't born in the house next door that had a nice swimming pool and everything else. And you kids, you know, think if I was born to this parent over here and I belong to this one instead of my own mother and dad, it'd be so much nicer. You know, that baby talk goes many times to adulthood. I got news for you. Are you glad you're coming back who you are in the shape that you'd like to be as you? No more wishful, stupid daydreaming. But to be really the real you you've always wanted to be, well, that's what Job said. So I'm not, my neighbor's not coming back in my stead, and the names are going to take my place. I'm coming back. He said, hallelujah. Yeah, I'm coming back. So, like some people might not want to come back. One person had a little run-in, and the fellow said, now look, Brother Branham's coming back, and he's going to be the chief honcho, and I'm going to be under him. You're going to be under me. The person said, well, I don't know if I want to come back. No fear at all. Come on back. Just the way you are. God will take you all through. I can understand that. Brother Bad says, Satan is still here. Sure is. I believe that. That's the reason all these things happen, all the bad things up there, see, the bad politics and all. He's still here, and all of his evil forces are still here. They haven't diminished. They know their same old dirty tricks, and they've learned some new ones. Notice, that's why the earth now is so filthy. That's why the scum and ridiculous things that goes on, bloodshed, war, politics, sin. See, politics is filthy. Adultery. All kinds of filthiness goes on is because that Satan is the ruler of this earth and this atmosphere. So Satan is in charge. The Bible says so. He's the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's known as the prince of darkness. And he has nothing in Christ. Now let's understand that. He has nothing in Christ. And Christ has nothing in him. That's a categorical statement by Jesus himself. And he proved it in the temptation. You and I are different. Satan had nothing in us, but we had plenty in God, and Satan fooled us. And he's still fooling us. But God's going to redeem us. See? Now, he's the prince of the power of the air. The word air is pneuma, which is the same thing as spirit. So therefore, when we breathe air out here, you can see you're actually breathing in the wrong spirit because you can't go out here and get a decent breath of fresh air anymore. Now, who's behind that, God or the devil? God made man to be pastorally inclined, to be rurally intended. And in the time that's coming, every one of us is going to sit under his own branch of the vineyard, his own vineyard, under his own vine and under his own trees. And he's going to build his own houses, and you won't need to worry about the EPA because the devil's going to be gone. And the EPA is no good anyway because it's run by a bunch of businessmen from the president on down. Politics. I'm glad we don't have anything to do with it. Brother Branham said, you say the atmosphere? Well, that's what he said over here in paragraph 47, where in the world is that? It's only the atmospheres around the earth and the sin that's upon the earth that's going to be destroyed. Yep. Yes, sir. Both the heavens and earth are now contaminated with devils that can accuse us before God. Now, what does that literally mean? That means when they accuse us for what is going on and what we are doing, they are the perpetrators of it themselves, using us really against our own wills because we don't want it this way, and they're accusing us. See? In other words, they blame us for themselves. See? And their terrible failures and everything they do. Or try to deny that we are gods and that we love God. Poor old Job over here in the first chapter. He went through that. Now, Brother Branham says the devil stands there accusing us, and these filthy spirits accuse us too. Now, it says there was a man named Job. He feared God and eschewed evil. And he was a very rich man. And it says that he went fasting for his sons, and he would, on their feast days, he would sacrifice and everything else. And then it says in verse 5, it was so when the days of their feasting was gone that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that maybe my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. And so Job, he did it continuously. Now in the sixth verse, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan snuck in also. He had every right to. He had every right to. You know, he can appear before God. And you know his devils can. So he better have somebody appear for us. Now you see, this is where the intercessor and Christ is so powerful a figure that men must never forget the value of that one at the right hand of the Majesty on high, who now is upon the very throne of God, waiting to be installed as the greater Son of David, which he will be when God incarnates himself in him. So this, they were being accused. And it's perfectly scriptural. It's right here. God allows it. The Lord said to Satan, where did he come from? What have you been doing? That's pretty chummy, ain't it? How are you? What are you doing these days? Well, if the devil can do that, what about you and me? If he's got the brass and the gumption to stand before God and throw something at us, I think we should have the brass and gumption to stand before God and throw something at him. To resist him. To use everything we can. Now, the best way to throw something to him is to throw the word of God, because that's one thing he cannot stand. Anything else he can stand. But he can't stand that, and I can prove it by the very fact he despoiled the word of God to Eve, so therefore he hates the word of God. Because he knows God stands behind him. He wants to prove that God doesn't. Where have you come walking? He said, you've been walking to and fro on the earth. And so the Lord said to Satan, threw him a challenge. Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and that shows evil. And Satan said, well, does Job fear God for nothing? You made a hedge about him, about his house and all that he has on every side. You blessed the work of his hands. You've increased his substance of land. Just put forth your hand now and touch him, and he'll curse you to your face. There you are. That's a true picture of what goes on. The Lord said, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon him put not forth your hand. And Satan went forth in the presence of God. Notice, the material possessions were the first thing that Satan was allowed to touch. And you know something? That's a beautiful thing right there. Material possessions. Now, I'm a little sneaky little thing, because I'm a terrible sneaky guy, as you all know. I bring it right down to the pot of porridge reading on it. Now, what do you say we end up with $100,000 debt on this church of $90,000? Things get rough. Will some of you people turn tail? You'd be thrown for a loop because there's money involved? How about some of you don't get jobs? They get so angry, and they get so wistful, and they get so down the dumps and all, they're ready to destroy everything. I'm giving you a lesson this morning, honey child, as a pastor. You better know these things and be ready to stand. I told you years ago, I thought God failed me because we prayed food in the table. Oh, I said, where's the food? I said, we haven't got any. We got to pray. She said, yeah, but the table's empty. I said, we still got to pray. And pretty soon the food came in. And I thought I was horribly abused. Yeah. When I found people turn on me, they wouldn't tithe or anything else, showing that they were wrong. I walked off, and I'm going to say something here, not to have not made clear, but I said to H-E-double-L with the whole thing, and I walked off. And I paid a price. And I paid a big price. And I had to come right back where it all was.
Amen.
Now, the first thing the devil did, accusing this man, he said, I tell you what, you let him not be so prosperous. You let the going go tough with the money and the family. See where it is. Now, if the going's tough around here, I'm going to tell you one thing. That's when the husband needs to love the wife more, and the wife needs to love the husband more, and they do more for each other. Not sit around pontificating, I'm the boss, and you're so-and-so. And listen, don't you ever pull that in this church. I want to see your faces. I'm not being nasty. I'm just telling you the truth. You get together, and I mean get together. Years ago, it was number one divorce problems. And splitting was finances. Today, it is sex, because that's where it was in the beginning. Right in prosperity, in the garden, sex. Now, Satan said, now you just go ahead and let me roll Job over financially. Sit and think about it, kids. Sit and think about it. Somebody is squirming. Long time ago, and you've had it so good, you don't know the first thing about having it rough. You know the prediction by 1990? A depression that makes the last one look like a Sunday school picnic? I was through that tough one. The reason I'm grinning is I wonder if the next one, tough as is, wouldn't be something kind of wonderful to be able to trust God in. Now, I am anxious for it. I'm like Dog Bosworth. Never asked for a nickel, never passed the plate, just leave God to take care of him. And he said, Brother Vail, when I knew it was my time to leave that city, that place, and God would give great revivals. He said, we'd be so happy going down to the station just with him. He said, because we didn't have a nickel, and we knew God would give it to us before we got in the train. And he said, in those days, he said, we read that that wheat was a perfect food. I don't think it really was. And we could get it 2 bits a bushel. And he said, we'd eat wheat and eat wheat. And he said, we all felt good and we all thrived. He said, for many years, but mind you, I wouldn't want to do it again. Oh, I love that man. I tell you, until you have met a man like Bosworth and Brother Branham, you have not met anybody. And I'm sorry to tell you that. I hate to hurt your feelings. I hate to be tough on you. But I'm going to tell you something. You, none of you sitting here have met anybody yet. So, Brother Dave, you must think we're awful cruddy. I'm talking about myself too, kid. I wish you could meet spiritual giants that I have met. Men that stand there right in the presence of God and act like God. I'm going home now, and you can go home with me. Never mind the new churches. Burn this one down. That's right. Satan accuses. So he hit Job, taking everything away. Then he killed his children. And he put his finger on Job. And he said, you watch, I'll make Job curse you. And you know, sickness can make people curse God. Their children can make people curse God. Jesus said, blessed is the man who is not offended in me, the happiest, most prosperous, most wonderful, positive person in all this world. And Christendom is the one who never gets offended in Christ because he knows the ways of God. Now, Satan is up there to mess this whole thing up, and he's got tremendous resources. He's got tremendous influence, even with God. Right? You talk about lobbying, which is a form of politics, due to a power base and influence. This fellow's got power. Now, God will never let him overdo it because there's no temptation taking us, no trial, but we're able to bear, and the bearing of it is by going through. And you must learn to go through. We must all learn to go through. I'm sorry for you, but you got to do it. I had to do it. We tried every trick in the book. Even when the kids were gone, we began having a real tough again. My wife said, well, so I'm going to go and do some work. I said, you can if you want to, but I can tell you one thing, it's not going to do any good. We're still going to face it. And we did. We did. We lived on like you never, nothing you've ever lived on. Had tough luck like none of you ever had. You think you have, but you haven't. But you know something? It's great. No trial seems very good for the time being, but afterward it brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness because you know there's a God who's on your side. It's just the old devil trying to kick you around. And he will kick you around. He'll kick you and me around both because he's got the influence and he's up there, buddy. He was the next highest to God, and that power has literally not been truly relinquished. He's holding on. He's got influence. But I'm glad we got influence with another one. Now listen, he said, both heaven and earth are contaminated. They sure are with devils that can accuse us before God, and they sure do. And Jesus is there to intercede for us, see? While the accuser, the accusers keep pointing a finger and said, they did this, they did this, they did this. But the blood still covers. Now he's talking about the atmosphere in the earth. Wherein dwelleth not righteousness, but dwelleth unrighteousness in preponderance to the righteousness. Now let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Let us see something very wonderful here. Because this indicates what is there and into the future will be manifested. It is still not manifested. 9 to 17. Let me see now. I want chapter, what did I say? Chapter 9. And, yeah. Now we're going to start the 17th verse. For a testament is of force after a man are dead. Sure, the will is enforced after the man's died, if you can make it work. These crooked lawyers, you're not going to make it work. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. In other words, the first testament or covenant had to have blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the test of the covenant which God hath enjoined unto you. He said, here it is, I'm presenting it, take it, it's going to do you good. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. See that? Oh, yes, wonderful. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, you better believe that there is no remission of sin, period. Sin will stick right there if there's no blood. Therefore, the blood's important, see? Because we're going to have to get over the hurdle that's appointed unto man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And why is it appointed to man wants to die? Though the spirit is life because of righteousness, the body is dead because of sin. Now you got to get that hurdle, because we can't die. So you see, don't ever talk about the blood being off the mercy seat as though the blood isn't of the most fantastic and tremendous value. Don't ever devalue the blood. God never intended to devalue the word at the expense of the blood or the blood at the expense of the word. How could he? It says right here, they sprinkle blood on the book. How are you going to have word without blood and blood without word? Huh? Well, there's your answer. Don't ever, don't listen. It's like saying, hey, don't listen to any preacher, just listen to me. Well, let me tell you something. As long as you come here, that's your job. And when you don't like it, you go someplace else. Or I'll go someplace else. Because I'll never downgrade the blood of Jesus Christ. And I don't have any real grasp on the understanding of it. But I know this much, I'm not going to be betrayed by folly. No prophet ever came and took away the blood. No way, shape, and form. Not when he got such a solid rebuke that circle of blood was for him, or he'd have just plumb out there in limbo too. Yeah. Now, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of these things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. It tells you right there the blood of Jesus Christ entered into the very heavenly, to the very holy seat, the mercy seat, the whole thing. And the circle of blood that Brother Branham saw covers the entire earth and the entire atmosphere. So, no matter what is going on, the shed blood which made Jesus Christ the intermediary, the mediator between man and God, now the shed blood allows him to intercede for us. And Brother Branham says, God hears our voice through the blood. He doesn't see us at all. He only looks at our representation. If you didn't have a representation back there, you don't have one now. We'll see that in this same wonderful message Brother Branham's bringing. Now, he came to redeem that elected that he foresaw. That's why it's so filthy today. That's why that filth remains. Now, the constant progression of sin demands that it all, that it and all it befouls be destroyed. Because you see, sin is progressive, the same as Christ coming into the church by revelation, and the word is progressive. So Satan's work is progressive, because the cup of iniquity must be filled at the same time the cup of righteousness is filled. Now, we read that in the book of Revelation. At the opening of the seals, in this particular time, he that is righteous still, and he that is filthy still. And they that wash their robes have the right to the tree of life. So now the conditions are reversed. That which kept us from God in prime shape to stand before him on the earth, like Job said he was going to stand, that condition is reversed. How did it get reversed? Sin has run its course. It's over for sin. And we're just beginning to get into righteousness. Isn't that nice? Now we think we know a few things here by grace, which we do know a few things by grace, and say, look, through this and this vindication, we know we got something, but we don't even really know what we got in the measure that we're going to know it. Because we can't. His human mind gets in the way. That's the biggest battle there is. He's a rascal. He sure is. All right. It's all going to be destroyed. That's just what sin brought forth. We find it over here in Revelation 21, in 5-8. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. So I'm sick and tired of the old. He said, right. These words are true and faithful. You better believe it. He said, they're going to come to pass. Now, why did he say this? Because as in the days Peter spoke of, they're going to be scoffers saying, well, is that really going to come to pass, this guy? No. Oh, you say he's here. Well, let's find out if he's here. Well, they're going to scoff about everything. They got it. They got it. You believe it. You say, in this message, Brother Bill? Who are you kidding? If you don't know that, you don't know anything. It's always the people you're with, you're engaged with. The Pharisees fought Jesus Christ, and then old Paul the Apostle fought him too, and one day the light hit Paul, and then he was fought by the Pharisees. Come on. It's simple as ABC. Come on, brother, sister. Don't look way down the road. Worry about the Catholic Church and the rest of the Protestants, because they're all one. You better worry what's going on here, like I told you already. Here's a guy's got his mug printed in the papers, though he's some big shot. Oh, wonderfully accepted, because he likes to run around, talk a lot. Beat his wife up. Split a church, everything else. Boy, I couldn't stand what we preach. I can't stand what he preaches either, so it's an even thing. I can't stand the thought of a man to beat his wife up. When did Jesus Christ beat on his wife? Perversion, perversion, honey, whether it's in this church or some other church, by the name of the message, so-called, and drag Brother Branham's name down. Guy going around the country saying Brother Meaty, Brother Bill and Meaty fought all the time like cats and dogs. That's my pit of hell. The same man said 35 pages of Brother Branham's church age. He hadn't read them. He's a liar. He read them. I read them to him. I've had my stomach full of folly. You know why I cut the meetings down to two, to just a weekend? I'm telling you why. Not interested in preachers, per se. I got a few good friends. I got a few ministers I know. People even sitting here believe this word of God. You old Brian here last night, too. They believe what we believe. Sure. Just saying you believe something doesn't mean you do it. Let's keep reading. So it's done. I'm Alpha and Omega. Look, he said it's done. What's done? What's done? What he said would be done. God's going to be their God. The holy city coming down. No more tears. No more crying. No more sorrow. All the old things have passed away. And I'll give him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I'll be his God and he'll be my son. That's in between this thing taking place right at this point. Him that thirsteth. Is the world church thirsting? They said, we don't need anything. And God says he turns away those that are full. But he welcomes those that are empty. The old Pentecostal sang, bring your empty earth and vessels clean through Jesus' precious blood, come you needy ones and all. They said, well, hallelujah, we're all filled. And the prophet came by and proved they're all empty. Something's wrong somewhere. Now I'm going to tell you, it's not in our thinking, brother, sister. It's not in this church. You bet your life it's not. I don't care anybody says. We got no headquarters. And I'm no headquarters. I'm being accused right now. That's why this church will cut off and cut off till we're just by ourselves. You say, Brother Vail, you're getting rotten. I always was rotten. Did you? What do you expect out of me? You think I'm beautiful morels that you can pick up when I'm called the death angel mushroom? Just tell you the truth. I'm not going to get caught, brother, by the grace of God, mister. I'm not going to get caught in it. I deplore it. I hate it. I don't want it in my life. I got bad enough troubles now. Just the very fact I can say cutting things. That's bad enough. But right now, you can take the. You can take, if you're thirsty, if you're not full, if you're not one of those puffed up, arrogant people, he's got a thirst quencher for you. Bible says right now, at this time, what are you thirsty for? What do you want from God that's in the Word for you at this hour? To settle your distrust and your fears and your qualms. You can have it right now. But he said, listen, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Overcome what? Overcome this period of time in here of unbelief, where Alpha is Omega, the appearing in all these things. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And you tell me the lake, you tell me the white throne is not going on now? Come on, read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. But you got to read it in faith. I talked to one man just the other night about the white throne. He said he got real tickled when he heard about it. He said, that's it, I believe it. Theologians going around, preachers, big shots in this message. Can't see it. I know they can't see it. They're too big. We're little shots. Brother Van taught me that years ago. I mean, by actually pulling it. 23 to 27. Same chapter. And the city has no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine it, for the glory of God to lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day or night. For there shall be no night there. And they shall bring glory and honor. And the nations of the nations into it. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defiles. Everything will be God's number one first creation. Yeah, you say, well, what about woman? Don't worry about her. She was in God's mind to begin with, and she was in a spirit form before she ever got in the flesh. It was only in the flesh she had her problems. And man was just waiting for her to have a problem. Don't worry. Look at men today. Don't look at women. Yeah, it takes two to tango. You tell me, men always were better dancers and better musicians, so watch it. That was a snide remark. I hope you caught it. I plug him for the ladies. I better. My wife was one. I'm not afraid of her. Don't worry. Never have been, never will be. No need to. She loves me and I love her. She loves me more than I love her. I know that. That's where she got me over a barrel. All right. Now, it should be vice versa. See? How about you, men? You better confess your sins while you got time. Bible says supposed to send them on ahead of you. Whoever works an abomination won't be there. Whoever makes a lie won't be there. But they whose names are in the Lamb's book of life. When was your name written? Before the foundation of the world. Before the male and the female or any animal was put into flesh or any stick of stardust. The name was there. He says, in other words, the enemy employs filth. And it started in the Garden of Eden. And it's not just merely sexual now. It's going to be everywhere. With sexuality being the typing. Because why? Without sex, the earth would not be propagated. It would not be filled. And so nothing else is filled either in this world because it all depends on that one issue. Freud was almost completely right on his thesis. I hear before he died he changed it, and therefore he would be almost 100% right. The apostle in 2 Peter here, the third chapter, the 5th and 6th verses, refers to three states of the earth. Now here's where I said Bullinger hit it, and Bullinger was right, and watch how Brother Branham says the same thing, showing you that Brother Branham never came on the scene, but only to correct and add what was left out because there wasn't time. These great men of God in the age of the face of the man were genuinely men of God and in the bride. You don't need to think for 1 minute they're not coming up, because if they don't come up, you're not going to make it either. I never saw a baby yet worth a hoop, where the body was clean from the feet to the navel, and then the navel to the neck missing, and you got a head in the neck. Why, the kid's dead. Well, don't think God's got a bride. He's got a nose off, or an arm off, or a toe off, or something else off. Out of every age, the elect are there. From the very first creation of man, God's had his elect. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all will be made alive, but in their own order. And there is a bride that takes the supremacy through the elective powers of Almighty God, and the rest are just as good, and they're going to come in later. But there won't be anyone but those there. Nobody but those will be there. And the holy city will be fantastic. Oh, my, God will be fulfilling himself in mankind like he never did before. I tell you, I want to get there. Even if I get there for 5 minutes, he throws me out. I'd like to know what it's all about. But if we get there for 5 minutes, I'll be there for 5 trillion years. He'd have a help throwing me out if I ever got in. I think I would know something good when I saw it. I hope so. All right. 3 stages. See, he gets 3 stages mentioned here. And he talks about the 3 stages of which the new heavens and new earth is that 3rd stage of the same earth. Notice how he brings them. The old world stood out of the water. That's number 1. That was antediluvian. Now, 55. Now, the one that is the present world we live in, now, called it a world. The old world stood out of the water, Genesis 1:1. And now the world that now is present, that's what we're looking at. And number 3, and then again he refers to another one. The world that is to come. The new world. 3 worlds or 3 stages of the world. Now that makes sense because God does things like that. He doesn't just start and blot it out and then start over again. He just takes a progression. That's sensible. And notice how God makes plain to us his plan of redemption. Now this is where I told you last night that Brother Branham takes page after page of identifying the redemption of the heavens and earth with our own personal redemption, because God has only one plan of redemption. You follow? All right. And notice how God makes plain to us his plan of redemption. Oh, this just thrilled my soul when I saw it. Because he made it really clear. One plan. How he makes plain to us here now his plan of redemption. Not salvation, it's redemption. That's good. Now, compare what we see with our own eyes, what God has done to redeem his world. Now, remember, there's 2 worlds, the world of the ungodly and the world of the godly. See? Right? He's used the same plan to redeem his people. For the unchangeable God changes not any of his plans or anything. And nothing at all, never changes anything. such a glorious thing. In other words, one plan of redemption for all that is to be redeemed. No matter what it is to be redeemed, it has one plan. Now, he led us to himself to tabernacle in us by three stages of grace. Now, you know that. Just like he's led the world in three stages to come through the world's processes of redemption, to the end, God will come down himself to tabernacle here, as it says in Revelation 21:22. Now, you notice I changed Brother Branham's wording. I added to it on purpose to get the full strength of it, because that's what he says. He said he came down here to tabernacle us. What's he going to do then? He's going to come and tabernacle here. So I told you about it. Let me prove it yet. Revelation 21 and 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. There you are. He wants to come right down here. And we won't be his temple. We're going to be his city. He will be his own temple and his own light. He will be the great generator, and we will be the generated. We're the animated. See? Three stages. As God will come to the world after it has gone through three different stages of purification. He's saying what I just told you. That's exactly how he comes through stages of grace for you and me. I've taught that at the beginning. I've never changed since, because it is God's word. Now, you have to keep your threes together, your sevens, your twelves. Now, I can't explain that. That's just what he said, and it's true. The numerics of the Bible must run perfect, or you get your pictures all mixed up. If you can't understand it, just keep praying. You watch, it'll cut right in exactly. God is perfected in threes. Now, that's what he said a while ago, last night. He said, I'm not going to take a subject and follow it all the way through from Genesis to Revelation, so I cover A to Z. He said, I'm like the Bible. I break in here. I give you so much. I break in here, give you so much. Then I come back and start on this again. I go over here and touch this again. And in a series of messages, when Brother Branham's whole ministry is finished, we have the perfect revelation for this hour, everything to put us in a rapture. That's God's truth, my brother, sister.
Amen.
As we understand God's truth. Now, let's get under them. Okay. Notice, the old world... Antediluvian, the world that's present now, that's number two, and the world to come, number three. Number one, the old world. Number two, what we're living in now, number three, is going to come. Now, that's where Paul was caught to the third heaven. Where, brother, that's what Bullinger thinks. And he said, there's no word in it, and there's no Jewish fable. We don't understand it. But he said, if you're going to look at the third heaven, we know there was a heaven, there's a heaven now, and there'll be a third one then. So Paul says, I caught a glimpse of the millennium and New Jerusalem. Who knows? I don't know. That's a very good thought. Very good thought. I like it. I don't know it's right, but it's good thinking, you know. The third to come. See, and also, when Jesus said to the thief, I say unto thee, everybody wants to say, today you'll be with me in paradise. I agree with Bullinger again. Although he would be with him. In that particular place. He said, I say to thee today, tomorrow-like, I will walk with you in the millennium and in New Jerusalem. See, now, no matter how you look at it, it's true that that man did not go to the place of the lost. No. And he didn't make the first resurrection either, I'm sure of that. He couldn't, because he was New Testament. Not Old Testament, in my understanding. He'll still come up. And in the tomorrow, God's tomorrow, where there's no sorrow, right? The third world, he's going to be there. We're going to be there too. That's going to be marvelous to see that man, that first one. And see the first martyr, Stephen, and to see Paul. I imagine Paul and Brother Branham will be just like twins born out of due season, you know. Just almost 2,000 years apart. That's a long time to carry a baby. But it was worked in the plan of God. He carried him a long time in the womb of God's divine grace. Now, see, his plan of redemption is exactly the same by everything. No change in his plan of redemption. He uses the same method. He never changes. He said in Malachi, I am God and I change not. That's true. He sure doesn't. The way he does it, therefore, if he saved the first man, he ever saved by the shed blood of an innocent one, he'll have to save the next one. Not another way. And if everyone he saves, it'll have to be the same way. Not just number one, then number two, but number three until it's all over. If he healed a man at any time through the journey of life, let it be in the days of Jesus, the apostles, the prophets, whenever it was, when the same conditions are met, he's got to do it again. That's right. He doesn't change. Man changes. Time changes. Age changes. Dispensation changes. But God remains the same. Perfect. What a hope that ought to give the sick people. See? In other words, as we meet the conditions, there's absolutely no way out that we cannot be healed unless God himself sent a prophet and said, you can't have it. What's the conditions you met? See? Now, just to stop a second, and we go to Revelation 22, 10 to 14. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, worship me. I'm thy fellow servant and of the brethren, the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust will be unjust still, filthy, filthy, and so on and so on. Verse 12, behold, I come quickly, my reward with me, to give a man according to his work should be. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. Now notice what he says here. I never saw this before. I and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And that's at the time of the opening of the seals. That shows white throne again. See the principle? You can't separate it anymore. Now you and your minds may try it. But I warn you, don't try it in your minds. Let your heart be your guide until your mind straighten out. Now I have no problem here at this point, and I expect none of you to have any problem. Just let your minds go. There's no problem. Tells you right here. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In other words, the first has come into view, and the first is the last, because you're back where I wanted you in the first place, and this time it's going to be better. Because God wanted the three worlds. He wanted this place for us. Eden had disappeared a long time ago. At the time of the flood, Eden got washed out somewhere. And by God's grace, after Noah, he still allowed the exact location, sort of, the area, Tigris and Euphrates. He must have allowed part of it to come back. Or he merely mentioned those as markers. See, it's the same one. God's doing great things right now. Actually, we can see ourselves at home in the New Jerusalem if you want to. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they might have the right to the tree of life, may enter the city through the gates, into the city. Now, with that, let's look at Revelation 22 and 2. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. Now, let's say that tree of life is symbolical. I want to ask you a question now. Let's be very honest and very sincere, because it can do something for us. I don't know if it will or not, but I hope it will. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that the tree of life is here now? Not a symbol any longer. Then how much more can we be healed if we begin to see these things? We have let the devil take this message and deny the actual content and the depth of the truth and the power thereof. It is time to get the mind renewed. Without the renewing of the mind, there can be no transfiguration. Can't do it. See, this is why your Friday night meetings can be so valuable. And why your home life can be so valuable. That's why the Bible said, look, take phylacteries, bind them upon your forehead. You go bang, 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 bang. Remind you of what's in there. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You keep saying yes, whatever you want in your mind. That little bang, bang, bang as you walk, as you sweat, as you twist your head as the wind blows, as you wipe your forehead, as you put your hair back. Always, it's reminding you, showing the word in the mind to get down in the heart. blocking every channel. It would make us carnal. It's marvelous what we can do if we want to do it, brother, sister. See, that's why Brother Brand said, I've given myself entirely to the Word. I couldn't figure him, but I figure him now. Will anybody rise up to do that in this message? We will if we're not lazy. If we learn to esteem God and His truth above everything else, nothing's going to bother you. The fact that you've been betrayed by people doesn't mean a thing. The fact you know they can sit right beside you and going to cut your throat doesn't mean a thing. I told you time after time, this church with 100 seats, 150 seats, could go 150 different ways tomorrow morning, but by the grace of God it won't, and if some of them do go, I'm not stopping. Too late to stop. Can't anyway. See? My. It's all before us, brother, sister. You never saw a day like this day when everything is right out in the open and proven. See? The vindication theorem, brother, sisters, at work. I don't care anybody says. We are a people who abide, our faith abides, firmly established on the vindication theorem and nothing else. It has been proven. It has been proven. So this guy says, I don't believe it. Brother, be my guest. Well, I don't think you're going to make it. That's up to God. But I believe it. Well, boy, oh boy. Your prophet's dead, sure. But so is your theologian of 100 years ago. And he never had any proof. He had a smart brain anointed by God. Today the brain is not anointed in the way it was anointed years ago. It's anointed different. You got to take this word first in here, then watch the anointing come. You cannot say, Lord, my mind is anointed, hallelujah, and not believe this, and go to the Bible and get a right answer. You got to say, Lord, I believe that, I accept that. I'm anointed. By the very grounds I've got this word in here, the Holy Ghost must come to it. Then as I go to my Bible, like Brother Branham, we can't be Brother Branham's. We got our own little trickle down. Let's understand. If he ever healed a person, he has to do it again when the same conditions are met. If he ever saved a man, he's got to do it in the same grounds he did it the first time. If he ever filled a man with the Holy Ghost, he's got to do it in the same grounds he did the first time. That's been going on for 7 church ages. If he ever raised a man from the grave, he's got to do it the second time and every other time on the same principle. How is that? Come out! Come on, Fort! The same voice of God that raised Lazarus is going to be here. You and I won't hear it, but we'll see it. Now, our seeing is by our hearing. Next, our hearing, the call, is by our seeing. Because we see the dead, we'll know he called. So we hear the call, right? By seeing. Today, we see by hearing. Right? Certainly do. We're a fine bunch of mixed up people. That's the way God wants it. See, we're come out of the world and the ways of the world. We're not. Look at. I trust we are soon to that place where we can say, not just by faith and by the fact of identification, but in a reality, because our own spirits are down and our lives are humble before God, say, he's got nothing to do with me. Satan hasn't. And I've got nothing to do with him. Oh, my. It may not come till the resurrection, but it's going to come anyway. You ever raised a man? He's got to do it the same way. Always we go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's got to be the 3rd chapter, verse 14, I know that. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, then men should fear before him. This is not something, my brother, sister, that God did and you can't add to it. This is something that God did and is doing now, and don't you dare touch it. How can you lay a hand on a prophet of God, vindicated by the word, and then come away clear? You're going to be guilty. We won't be because we believe different. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requires that which is past. There's the law that Brother Branham laid down. Oh, what a hope that gives me. What is it? Not in some man-made theory, something that groups of men have come together on, but his unchangeable word. Well, how do you know it's his unchangeable word? God said so. I don't believe that. You don't have to believe nothing. In fact, I'm glad they don't. I told you for years here, If the preachers and people believe as I'm preaching from this pulpit, I've got to be wrong. Because Brother Branham said, if they did it that way, he'd be wrong. Now the word's coming back. You say, well, Brother Bill, are you glad that people are condemned? No, I'm glad I'm right. What do you think? I don't rejoice that you got a $100,000 debt in your home and my house is clear. I don't rejoice about your debt. I rejoice my house is clear. You get your own house clear and rejoice. Fat. That's just plain good common sense. Horse sense coming from a sheep. A stable knowledge. What it is. He said, you see, is that the truth, Brother Branham? He said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. Because heaven and earth were going to pass away, but my word will never fail. All scripture is given for inspiration, therefore it's good and profitable doctrine. And remember that all scripture will be fulfilled, every bit of it. And you know the eschatology is a part of doctrine. That's future things. Now, as God gives revelation, we live by it. And through it, and expect. You see, we live by it, and through it, that's the revelation, we expect, that's our faith, to receive the benefits that are coming by revealed prophecy. That's right. Brother Branham gave us the revelation. He tells us what it's all about. We live by it. That's ours. That's our life. And through it, we expect to receive all the benefits that are coming because he revealed it by prophecy. Brother Branham said, it's been spoken. It's going to be. Notice how God made it plain to us. And if that wasn't a great confirmation, a good, great, loving blessing from God, when I see this and when I see this and see that since a boy, first time Christ dealt with me, I still always taught those three stages of grace. Notice if it isn't true now. Now, the first step is repentance toward God. Now, watch, he's going to bring us to the place, and he's going to really belabor this, how that our justification, sanctification, and baptism is exactly how God does everything in his universe that he wants to redeem. There is no exception. It's done in threes. Now, the first step is repentance toward God. Then what follows after that is water baptism. Water baptism. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See, water baptism follows, showing that the repentance was genuine, to remit our past sins. Now, that has nothing to do with our future sins. It only remits the past sins. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? Remission. Taking away a past sin and nothing to do with the future. Just your sin has been chopped off. Whatever you did is gone because the blood scatters till there be no evidence. That's what he told us. You can't repent for what Adam did. No. You never did it. Adam did it. Bible tells us that. Romans 5. You just get forgiveness for what you've done. The old nature is still there. Now he said, let me take this board a minute. Now I haven't got a blackboard here, so I'll read it slow and we'll visualize it. Now here's a human heart. So he draws a heart. I'm a long way from an artist. Here's a human heart, and now here's another human heart. Two human hearts on the blackboard. It's a blackboard, remember, not a whiteboard. Now, this one over here has a snake in it, so he draws a snake. Keep that in your mind. That's sin. Here he has life. Now he's going to draw a dove. This one has a dove in it, which is the Holy Spirit. You've got two hearts drawn now. One's got a snake, and one's got a dove. All right. That's the Holy Spirit. Here he has life. Here he has the life. Well, this one here has malice, that's a snake. Hatred, envy. That's what's causing it. This fella here, the snake inside. Well, this one over here has love, joy, long-suffering, and that's what does it down here. He points to the dove, the Holy Spirit. Now, when you are forgiven of your sin, only what you've already done is taken away. The future sins you confess, and he intercedes. Remember that. But the thing that made you do it is still there. Your sins are gone, but that old nature is there. That's the old root of evil. It's still there. In other words, you still want to do those things. You're a creature of habit. You like what you've done. You know it's wrong, but there's something in there that says, hey, you know, let's go do it. Let's go do it. Now, when you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that is when he forgives you of your sins. Repent and be baptized. That's right. Now, secondly, comes sanctification. The first, you see, is justification. He'll tell you that later. Which sets our minds in order for holiness to think right. Couldn't do it before. Sanctification is a compound Greek word which means cleansed, cleaned, and set apart for service. You see, it sets you apart, but the service comes when you're full of the Holy Ghost. He'll tell you that. Now, number three. Then comes the baptism of the fire and Holy Ghost that God might dwell in us. And the fire of God cleanses our hearts from sin and puts the Holy Ghost inside. Then, you see, it's a living fire. It's not a dead fire. It's a living fire. Then we bring forth the same life that this did, the dove. Brings forth that's in us. And what did he bring forth? Joy, love, long-suffering, and meekness and gentleness and all those goodies. All right. Now, 71, page 17. Now, let's illustrate this in the natural birth is what he's telling you. Notice, in the natural birth, when a woman gives birth to a baby, the natural life types of spiritual life. Now, watch that. When a woman gives birth to a baby in the natural, the first thing happens is what? Number one, the breaking of water. Number two, then comes the blood. Then the next thing comes the life, the spirit. Grab the little fellow, spank him, and away he goes screaming. Water, blood, spirit. Right? That's true. See? Now, when a baby is born in the kingdom of God, he comes the same way. Water, blood, spirit. Now notice, sanctification. The second stage of it. Cleanses the mind, sets the heart, the mind of the heart, in order of holiness. In other words, there's a new pattern coming up now. A man can repent of sin, and he's still thinking, well, let's say maybe he's an immoral man. You know, women, he likes women. Every immoral looking woman he finds is still there. Maybe he's a drunkard. Every time he smells a drink, still there. See? But then when he gets sanctified, that cleanses that desire out of him. He doesn't want to drink anymore. Now, it doesn't say he can't get tempted. But it becomes foreign to him. Say, well, hey, that's a temptation. Before, I'd have walked right into it. So what? That's life. So that's what they're doing now on all the TV and all these films, which makes it so bad. I talked to a girl in the Cincinnati. She's a real sweet kid that had something to do in the airport. I forget she was in one of the places where they vend magazines and T-shirts and things. And we got to talking because our plane was delayed. And we were discussing this thing about TV and picture shows and video cassettes. And I said, well, what gets me is that I simply cannot conceive from my upbringing and the life that we have lived and taught our children, and what I see going on about me, that it's natural in every home for the parents to use filthy words on the kids, and the kids to use filthy words on the parents, and back and forth until there's nothing but dirty four-letter words and a conversation which is absolutely out of order. She said, where have you been? She just looked me in the eye. She said, things have changed. I still cannot accept that. But I guess it's there. So this is what he's talking about here. You're in a certain pattern. Nothing to it. The prostitute, after she's had her intercourse with the man, maybe giving him AIDS and everything else, the Bible said she's just like her eating a piece of bread. She wipes her mouth. It's a good meal. You know. Heartily. Now, I'm going to tell you, people are that way in the natural. The only thing they've held back is from some religious training they've had or something down the road that suggested they were moral somewhere. Naturally, we are degrading ourselves and others and are degraded. Now, let the Spirit of God begin to move. You say, all right, I've been baptized in water. I know God has forgiven me. The remission of sin is complete, but I got this messy thing in here. God immediately sets about giving you the Spirit in a sanctifying measure of grace where you know right now, hey, that's only not the thing not to do, but look, I don't want to do it. I got problems, and I still got that problem in there. There's something in there, but I don't want to do that. In other words, the mind begins to line up, the things of God begin to look better. Maybe he's a drunkard. Every time he smells a drink, it's there, see? But when he gets sanctified, that cleanses the desire out of him. He doesn't have a desire now. It takes the want of it away. He still can be tempted, but he takes the want of it away. In other words, you don't want to do it, and so you begin to buckle down. Say, boy, you just wanted to do it and did it. Now there's something moving on you. Still, he's not right yet. No, he's still not there yet. Then he is baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, cleansed, burnt out, cleaned up, and then put into the service of God. Now he's too busy serving God to get messed up with the other. But the devil will always tempt us and try to get us our mind someplace and away from the business of God. Jesus said when they try to get him messed up, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Don't try to mess with me. Elisha taught that to Gehazi. Don't anybody mess with you. Don't greet anybody. Don't say hello. Don't stop. Don't do this. Just go on right down there. That's right. Get your eye on the goal. We get our eyes on the goal, brother, sister, that you believe with all our hearts that everything we need to get us in the rapture, we are going to be in that rapture. Because I'll tell you why. If you're not seed, you won't go on to get your mind in order. Ha! Just that simple. See, it's going to be dead mammoth here. It's going to be dry. It's going to be disgusting. I've warned you on that many times. When you get right down to the nitty-gritty of the plan of God brought before us by the prophet vindicated of God, and you begin to see how this thing looks like a cut and dried thing, it could do something to you, destroy you. But if you're a real seed of God, you say, hallelujah, I'm sure glad it's that way. So, man, I like it all cut and dried because especially I'm a part of it. Yes, sir, he got my representation from me way back yonder. Got it right now. I'm going to have it all the better, sure thing. Sanctification only sets him aside for service. See? If sanctification then sets him aside for service, as Brother Bannon says right here, the Holy Ghost empowers him for the service. Because why would you be set aside for service if you don't get something to do the service? You know, that'd be silly, wouldn't it? God defeat his own purpose. And notice that, just exactly how that comes. So the message is coming. Now notice and watch this here. Notice the message is coming. In three stages, Martin Luther, justification. John Wesley, sanctification. The Pentecostals, baptism of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? All of this needed to get the bride ready. These messages to get the final message and put her into orbit. See? What you're looking at. These messages being their shows, being here maybe more, I've interpolated that. That's where there can't be any more messages of it. Because you see, it's coming the three. Reformation. Now you're right to restoration. Can't be any more messages. This has got to finish it. No organization. We're at the end of time. Three stages. Baptism cleanses the heart with the Holy Ghost. And remember, a genuine baptism will make us take the message. How striking now. He takes the earth. He takes the place. That's the earth. Where we are to dwell in through the same processes. Now he's called the church to justification, called it through sanctification, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he took it through a process so that he himself, the Holy Spirit himself, the Son of God, could dwell in the human heart. Now it has to go through that before he can come into it. Notice, he has done the world where the bride is going to live in the same way. His same plan of salvation. Notice the antediluvian world. After it had repented through the bride of that day, Noah. Notice, one man, seven people with him. Repented. That was the whole thing, repented. Through the bride of that day, Noah. He gave it a water baptism. Covered it over with water. It's just exactly true, because that's what baptism does. Justification. Showing that he's on his road to call this fallen world from Eden back to its restoration again. The world fell from Eden. Now he's got to call it back. Then Christ came and shed his blood upon it. Water, now blood. Noah, Christ. Cleansing it and claiming it. See, that's the world we live in now. See, Noah, water, Jesus, blood. 78. See how Satan here in the scripture tried to make him break God's plan to receive it. Give it to him when he took him up on the mountain and tried to give it to him without the purchase of blood. Now, see, that's why I proclaim the power of the blood. Never, ever. Just thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ and glory in it. See? Did you notice how Abraham, when they tried to give him the land, he bought it with so many shekels of silver before the people as an ensign, as a witness? Let it be known this day I bought this very place. See? Purchased it. And Satan tried to give Jesus the kingdom which belonged to Satan now. Belonged to him, belongs now. He tried to give it to him as a gift, but he wouldn't receive it. See, then Satan could still have claim on it. What good would it be if he let Satan give it to him? He would have to receive it in that same condition, then it would exist in that condition. Forget it. If you're going to give me some broken old down car with a fenders all battered off the motor shop. They just went, hey, put the fenders back on, jazz her up, and give me a new motor. And I'll listen to you about your car. You ain't giving me nothing in this condition. Fooey. You think I'm going to pay a price of $800 for 2 bits worth of junk? Forget it. I'm not stupid. Well, Jesus wasn't stupid. You knew he was going to get the earth in the condition it was in. And he said, look, I'll pay for something decent. Oh, man. Jesus was a smart business head. He wasn't some milquetoast guy going around, you know, drooling in his beard or something. Couldn't drink his lemonade or whatever he had. I don't know. You know, some people think that Jesus was some sort of a peculiar fellow. He wasn't. But I can tell you, he was every inch a man. But he stood there. He was every inch God, too. He said, look, I'm not going to take it any account from you. He tried to give him a gift. He wouldn't receive it. See, then Satan could have still had his claim on it. But it had to be bought. Amen. He was the Word in the fullness of. That's who Jesus was, the fullness of the Word. They couldn't deceive him. So he was going to cleanse it. Just by his own blood, that was the purchase price, see? Then it is now to get the baptism of fire. It's had water. Now it's had already the blood. 2,000 years later, it's going to get fire. That's number three. What happened? Christ came and called the church repentance. Baptism, in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sin, and remission of sins, and to sanctify the church. With the fire, God came down and burned it all the filth, and came and dwells in the human heart. Now let's take a look at that. That's in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Because that's what Brother Branham is teaching us, so let's look at it. All right? 19:20. What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you were bought with a price. That's like the world. Now, if you've been bought with a price, you're entitled to the Holy Ghost, and you must receive the Holy Ghost, and you will receive the Holy Ghost. Well, sure, that's the way it is in the earth. You think you're stand back and say, well, now, I got the water, I got the blood, now I refuse the fire? What's that guy? What's the world got to do with it? That's the purchase of God. He'll do what he wants. Now, what about this? We're the purchase of God. He's going to do what he wants. What's he want to do? Fill us. You think a lamb, a true child of God, is not going to be filled? But you got to be whistling in the dark. You miss sovereignty and the principle of grace. Don't understand election, predestination. Sovereignty is I'm God and I do what I want. You try to stop me. Well, I'm glad he thought that way about me, because I'd have sure tried to stop him. Hey, it's nice we got a God that knows what he's doing, especially to us. Glorify God in your body and your spirit with your God. Now let's read something else here. Let's read 15-18. The same chapter. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take members of Christ and make them members of harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he was joined to a harlot as one body? For two said she be one flesh. And we're speaking of spiritual adultery now. But he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Therefore flee these fornications of this wrong type of thinking and doing. Every sin that a man doeth is without his body. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. So there, look, let's say you're out here fornicating in these spiritual adulteries. You think you're going to make the resurrection? Forget it. The Bible says you ain't going to do it. You sinned against your body. You cut yourself plumb off. Brother, sister, you got to stick with your types in the Word of God. Don't anybody fool you. We don't intend to be fooled. Let's face it, we're not going to be fooled by the grace of God. Not because I say so, but the Word of God says so. Elect cannot be fooled. All right, burn out all the filth and come and dwell in your heart. Now, for the world to be redeemed, for this redeemed person. Now, for the world to be redeemed, for this redeemed person to be redeemed, see, he uses the same method. World, one person, doesn't matter. He baptized it in water after the flood, destruction. Shed his blood upon it to sanctify and cleanse it. It's his now. And Satan said, I'll try it. I give it to you. He said, no, sir, I bought it. Let it be a witness. My blood's a witness. He was lifted up for an ensign, lived above the earth, shed his blood. It's mine. He hung right between the two. That's right in the atmosphere, hanging in the atmosphere. And the blood on the earth, cleansing the whole thing, proving it's his. Can't do a thing about it. Going to claim it at the right hour. Because Satan has claims by reason of a time. Right? Oh, yes, the same time. until Adam can be immortal. Satan's time is over, brother, sister. My, that's nice. A few more days to suffer. I thought, okay, let's suffer. Yes, sir. He lifted up for an ensign that he bought it. He purchased it. But now it has to go through a baptism of fire, holy fire from God, which cleanses the earth and the heavens around it. Then it's purchased so the redeemed can live on it and live in peace. It's purchased, but it's not cleansed. We can't go there. See? Satan not just bound now by circumstances. When this fire falls, he's bound, period. He's not going to have his way. Oh, he'll come forth after the second resurrection, try to do a little bit, but he's a gone goose. There's no way he's going to do anything. See? Now, it's ready for the people of God to dwell in. For God in the new world that is to come is to dwell on earth. God in the new world that's to come. The fire cleansed world, God is coming right down. Right there. But you see, he's got to do it that way. The next time he comes, he's a person in the Lord Jesus Christ in the perfect headship. Right now, it's a headship over the bride, nothing else. You say God, he dwells in the human heart. But he and the bride become one. And they go to their home in the new world. And the same plan of redemption is used to redeem both worlds and the persons that live in it. In other words, one plan for the perfect thing that God had in mind. A new oneness is coming to us now. Over and above the oneness we have now, which we started one with God by being born again. We are now in a new oneness with each other in God by the Word, uniting time. The third one is at the marriage supper, and we all literally live around the throne of God, the bride and the bridegroom. See, the heart has to be cleansed. Oh, Chanagalev. Well, I'll never read this paragraph here because I've got to read all of it and we got to comment on it. So we'll leave right here at the point where we are seeing positively what God did for each one of us. He is now in process and has been in process with the earth, and we're coming to the oneness where God himself will dwell with his people and he will be the temple. We're looking for it, brother, sister. It's here by the grace of God. Now, here's what you and I must think about. This will take away all these other things. Why? Because the glory which we have now exceeds any other glory there ever was in redemption's plan, and we are now about to see a greater glory. Right? Because never has a group of people been changed standing on earth. Now, what a wonderful day it is. We're even going to see how many are going to be in it. The prophet said so. Bless your heart. 7:30 Wednesday night. Let's rise and meet us, Nick. Appreciate all the good folk coming in for the communion foot washing. It certainly makes our day here. I hope it made yours. If you had contributed to you as much as you contribute to us, I'd say, well, I want to tell you, you got a real blessing because you really contributed to us in a marvelous way that cannot be expressed. We know that you love us, and we sure love you. And if we can't be together on this side of the border, because I'm sure not going north, and you know, as far as the Canadians are concerned, I've been there, that was enough for me. And maybe we'll never get together, you know, until the millennium, there won't be any borders there. Travel with the speed of thought. How nice. How wonderful. Let's be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I want to praise and thank you again for your lovely, lovely Holy Spirit you sent to us individually, and your lovely self in our midst at the head of the church, and a prophet that was yielded to you to bring us this word, that as we study it, we see just so many tremendous things flowing out, like the whole plan, Lord, set before the foundation of the world. And we are part of it, O God, by faith, for we believe what we have seen and heard. And we know that light, but that which maketh manifest is light. And it does make manifest, Lord, that there is the people who believe this, right or wrong, is still light manifesting. And Father, we believe it is right. And now, Lord God, wouldn't it be nice if we somehow, but only by your help we know we can do it, by the greater one within us, to so get out of the way, Lord, that we would not only love and appreciate you as we ought to, but your own life may take a precedence and supersede our lives, that we could honestly say with Paul, at least in some measure, that for us to live is Christ. Lord, we know that is true in a measure, but the measure is just... Well, let's say, Lord, that we're discouraged with ourselves by not being in the fullness of the divine flow, humanly speaking, as we really know we ought to be, with the manifested fruit of the Holy Ghost in and through us. Help us, therefore, Lord, to put aside the old man unto complete crucifixion. Let him be annihilated. Let all these things in there, Lord, that have been inbred in us and also worked into us by the nature we've had and by the lives we've led and the education we've got, influence of this person, that person, whatever. We pray, Lord, that it'll give way to the Word of God which has been revealed to us and plug more and more of those channels until, Father, the Word alone charges our inner battery, comes forth in the life that you want us to have. We're not begging for gifts and things, Lord, though we certainly are not turning them aside. At least we don't want to turn them aside, though we may be. If there's something, Father, that you have for us, we pray not we can't do like the prophet did, but